Whether life's journey is full of triumphs and victories, riddled with struggles and disappointments, or maybe a little bit of both, it's been our experience that God's compassions never fail, and His faithfulness is new every morning.
Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles with Paul and Jamie Hamilton. Join us as we transparently share stories of God's faithfulness in our lives to be an encouragement to yours. Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles. My name is Paul.
And my name is Jamie.
And in today's podcast episode, we are going to be discussing the beginning of the empty nest syndrome.
Yeah, I guess it could be a syndrome, I suppose. you know, when our last daughter graduated from high school, I remember you and I high-fiving each other because we had gone through 22 years of homeschooling.
22 years.
And I have to confess to everybody, I was so excited. I felt like I was graduating, and we kind of were graduating.
We were, yeah. 22 years is a long time to school kids.
It is. But we entered into a new season of life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long after they graduated that, you know, our last two children kind of flew the coop and headed mm-hmm. out on their own, and we were left with ourselves and being empty nesters.
Yep. So I had some statistics for you I wanted to start off with, kind of to set the tone of today's podcast. So in 1970, 7% of young adults continued to live at home with their parents after graduating. Now, I don't know if this is graduating high school or college, but 7%. So that means 93% did not live at home.
And certainly some high school graduates still live with their parents. Like if they're attending college in town and they're trying to save money. And, you know, we did that with our own kids. We told our own kids that, you know. And so it doesn't really matter whether it's high school or college, but 7%.
Yeah. So in 1980, it rose to 8%.
Okay.
In 1990, it rose to 11%. In the 2000s, it actually dropped to 10%. In the 2010s, it rose to 15%. In the 2020s, it was 17%. And in 2024, it was 24% of young adults continued to live at home with their parents after graduating.
Wow.
I mean, that's a quarter of everyone who graduates stays home with mom and dad.
And see, I find that to just be nutty crazy, to be honest, because I'll be honest with you. Before I graduated high school, I could not wait to mm-hmm. get out of my parents' home and have my own life and my own place and my own and do my own thing. And to think that I would want to stay living at home with my parents is just mind-boggling.
Yes. Well, and it got me to thinking about when I graduated high school. See, this Friday, May 31st, is the 42nd anniversary of my high school graduation.
It's also your 60th birthday.
Yes. Egg. Yes, because I did graduate high school on my 18th birthday. So, do you know what my parents got me? Well, you do, but do you know what my parents got me for my birthday / graduation gift?
I do know.
Yes. Luggage.
Luggage. My That's a sign.
Yes. There's nothing that says, hey, we're glad you've been here. Congratulations on finishing high school. Here's a set of luggage.
Good luck. Absolutely.
Well, and if I was honest, I didn't totally move out of my parents' house. I did go to college for 1 year, came back home, worked real well with my dad's business. And I believe it was between 19 and 20, somewhere in there, I moved out of my parents' house. Mm-hmm. And it was because of disagreements with my mother over how things were going to go.
Right.
And if I was honest, in fact, I was very honest, my mother had a very hard time with me moving out of the house. Mm-hmm. Because she had a hard time letting go.
Yep.
I will never forget. I moved out on a Friday. And she looked at me on that Friday as I was loading up my car, and she says, "By George, you better be at church on Sunday morning."
And the thing is, I could absolutely see her saying that. Oh, yeah. I could yes. see it.
Yes. She was like, "You're going to be there on Sunday morning. You're not going to start off your thing by skipping church and all this. No, sir, I didn't raise you that way. You're going to be at church on Sunday morning." Well, Saturday went through. Sunday came through, and I didn't go to church.
That was bold.
I didn't. I remember I was with my roommate.
Very bold.
We were driving to church. And about halfway there, I made the decision not to go. I was like, "Boy, howdy, I am on my own. This is my house. I don't live under, you know, they don't parent me anymore. I'm not going." And we went, we bought stuff for the apartment, and we went home. The stupid thing about that was I had to go to my parents' house that afternoon.
That's awkward.
Oh, it was very awkward. My mother was furious. Oh, I heard about it. So, like I said, my mom still wanted to parent me even though I was out of the house, even though I was an adult. Mm-hmm. She still wanted to be my parent. And I would like to say that really didn't change with her. It got a little better as time went on. I mean, my mom passed away when I was in my mid-20s. But I really didn't totally understand the whole situation. I found it annoying and everything. But honestly, once our kids began to move out of the house, I began to understand. Yeah. Because think of it this way. Our first 28 years of marriage, we had kids in our house.
Yes, we did.
From day one, there were kids in the house. And our job descriptions were pretty clear. We were in control. It was our house, our rules. That was just the way that it was.
Right.
So it was very hard to begin to let go. Our oldest daughter moved out. I remember kind of having issues with decisions she was making.
I think if you're a godly parent, you want the best for your children. And that kind of comes to a head, especially when they get older. And they're kind of in that place where you have to start letting them make some decisions. And I'm not talking about kids that are out of the house already. I'm talking about, you know, kids that are in high school age who just want to begin to fly a little bit on their own and make some decisions. And it's hard to watch them sometimes make decisions. I mean, not harmful decisions, because I feel like even when they're in your home, you don't want them to make harmful decisions.
Yeah.
But there are times where you have to look at them and say, "Well, I'm not sure that if I was in your shoes, I would make that decision. You know, have you prayed about that? Have you given really some serious thought about that? I'm not sure that I would make that choice." But I think to be a healthy parent and to have a healthy relationship, it's not like a sudden, "I'm letting you go suddenly." I think you have to little bit by little bit give kids the freedom to make decisions. With doing that means they may make wrong choices.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we did in our home, and I always appreciated it, and I know my kids appreciated it, was we would let them make decisions on certain things they were going to do for school.
Right.
But we looked at them and said, "If you make this decision, you're committed." Correct. For the whole school year.
Yeah.
You're committed. And so think it through before you join this group or choose this subject. You're committed.
Yes, we did.
So there were some good things about it. And honestly, it got me to thinking about it. You know, there are different types of parents. You have what they might call satellite parents, which if you ever think about a satellite, you don't see it. It's not around. It's floating up in the sky somewhere. Your kids are kind of out on their own doing their own thing. As long as they don't kill themselves, hey, you're fine.
Right.
So there's the satellite parent. Then you have the helicopter parent. They're a little more hovering.
They're flying a little lower than the satellite.
Yes. They're kind of right there in the middle of it. They're kind of in their business, but, you know, they're not, you know, that kind of thing. Then you have drone parents. They're even closer because they come down really close. you know, they're controlling more things than the kids can't do anything without them, and so on. And recently, we were watching a television show on Hulu, and this mom in there made a comment. And I remember when she said it, I was stunned at the honesty, but I also died because I was like, I know so many parents like this.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm a crop duster
parent. Yeah, and that was just, I got a vision for that. I mean, think about it. If you've ever been out in the country where there's fields and they do crop dusting.
Yeah.
Those planes fly
feet.
Yeah. Over the crops,
yeah,
to spray fertilizer or herbicide or whatever on top of it. I mean, they're right on top of those plants.
Yeah.
And when she said that, it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
We know quite a few parents.
Yes.
That I would label as a crop duster parent. I mean, their kids are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and they're still crop dusting their kids.
Yeah. Yeah, being in there, not letting them make their own decisions, not letting them experience the bad choices that they've made. I mean, really, if you think about it, how do we learn? We learn from making a decision and then dealing with the results, good or bad. Mm-hmm. That's how you learn.
And you learn that way your whole life.
Yes.
You know, even just because that you become a parent doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes.
Yes.
And we made a huge mistake in Easter of 2020, and we had to learn from it, and it was painful. And it's really what illuminated us to the importance of letting our kids make decisions and not interfering. It was a difficult time.
Yeah. Well, and to set the stage, I mean, everybody remembers March of 2020. We had the global pandemic. Everybody, it was the very beginnings of it. Everybody was unsure exactly what's going on. Easter, I believe, was in April that year. So a month after everything, things are kind of shutting down. You've got the government saying, don't gather together. Yeah,
if we were all honest and you put all the Democrat, Republican nonsense aside, it was kind of a scary time.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really know anything about what COVID was. We didn't know what it was about. We didn't really have enough information to make good decisions.
Yeah.
All we could make decisions off of was what we're being fed.
Yes.
And when you care for people, you want to make sure you're making good decisions.
Yeah. And honestly, at the time, I felt justified in what I did. So what happened was our oldest daughter usually hosts Easter. It's something she enjoys doing. She hosts Easter and she sent out an email and she says, we're having everybody over at our house. It's going to be at this time. You know, let me know what you're bringing, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. Well, as you and I began talking about it, we began looking at each other going, I'm not sure this is a good idea. You know, we had your mom and my dad who mm-hmm. both were elderly.
In their 80s.
Yeah. Well, dad was in his 90s mm-hmm. at the time. And you have information coming out saying this is really bad for people in their older ages, people right. with diseases that make, I mean, you take an autoimmune drug that lowers your immune system.
Correct. Yeah.
And so we were concerned. So what I did was I sent out a reply saying, as the patriarch of the family, I think this is a bad idea. I don't think we should do this. You know, everybody should stay home. And I have to be honest with you. My daughter was furious.
The blowback on that was beyond words. I was so hurt at first by the things that she was saying because we're the parents.
Yeah.
We yes. have all the answers and we're right and you should honor everything we say and what we say you should do. And I began to get that puffed up attitude that you should be listening to what we say.
Yes.
And your decision's dumb and it's stupid and you shouldn't even be doing this.
Yeah. Going through it and having that mentality, well, we're the older adult. We're the parents. I'm the head of the family. I should be able to put that, you know, with my little magic words, as the patriarch of the family, quote, my word is law, you know, right. kind of thought process. Yeah. And I remember my son-in-law calling. And see, I knew that was a big deal. Because
yeah.
our daughter, she does not hide behind her husband in any way, shape, or form. If she doesn't like what you're saying, she will tell you to your face. But for her to have her husband call was a definite sign. She's so hurt and upset. I can't even talk to you right now.
Mm.
And he was like, this is wrong. We're really offended you did this. And if we were honest, we went a few months of not talking.
Yeah. I mean, that included not seeing our three grandsons.
Yes.
Which was so hurtful for us. Like, we were just devastated. I didn't know what to do. You know, you kind of at first, you think, I'm going to plant my flag on this hill.
Yep.
You know, I am going to fight for my right. I'm the matriarch. He's the patriarch of this family. How dare you? I'm planting my flag here. And at the beginning, that's what we kind of felt.
Yeah.
But as time went on and there was no communication with them and we weren't communicating with our three oldest grandsons, I think we just began praying. We began asking God, Lord, we're right. Right? Like,
yeah.
we've done the right thing here, right?
Well, and kind of trying to find a way to heal the situation. And I'll never forget, you came to me one night and you said, I have found this audiobook and I'd really like you to listen to it with me. I have to be honest, I'm not an audiobook fan.
Oh, this was the first audiobook I had ever listened to.
Yeah.
I'm old school, but I'm going to read a book.
I'm going to have pages.
I'm going to have pages and a solid cover and all that stuff. But I found this audiobook and I remember sitting outside. I was listening to it.
Yeah.
And as I listened to it, the tears just began welling up because the things he was talking about were so intense. God used that book to touch my heart. Like, I knew that God was speaking to me through that book. And I had been praying that God would open my eyes, that if we were wrong, and this was not a flag we needed to put in the ground at this place, for him to speak to us. And I'm going to tell you something. If you pray and you ask God to show you something and you truly want to be shown that, he's going to show it to you.
Yeah.
And he did.
Well, I remember one of my favorite Bible verses of all time. In fact, it is up there in my top two or three, is Jeremiah 33:3. That says, call unto me and I will show you great and unsearchable things you
Absolutely.
Do not know.
Yeah.
And this was one of those times where it was like, God, help us repair this. And I mean, if I was honest, initially I was like, show her she's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I will right. be that honest.
Right. We're how parents, can we, we're never
how can
wrong.
We prove that she was wrong?
We're parents, we're never wrong.
So we began listening to this book. And the name of the book is Doing Life with Your Adult Children by Jim Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Life-changing.
Yes.
This book was life-changing.
Yes, it was.
And there were a couple of things, we're only going to go into a couple of them, that we really learned about this. One of them was our jobs were no longer to parent our children, but to mentor our children. Our job as parents ended when they became adults.
Yeah.
We no longer were influencing them. We were no longer caretaking for them. We were no longer dictating what they were going to do. We had done our job.
Right.
We had graduated. Now it's time to be their
mentor,
give advice when asked. And that probably was one of the biggest things for me.
Yeah.
And it's really strange because my dad was like that. My dad was not someone who interjected his opinion. He did early in our marriage, but as life went on, he quit doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I would go to him and ask him, what do you think about this? How do you feel I should do this? And there were a number of times. I remember one time in particular, and it's a really quick story. Our two oldest boys wanted to dye the tips of their hair. It was a big thing in the mid-90s. Yeah. If you weren't there, you weren't there. They wanted to dye the tips of their hair. And you and I were like, oh no, If God meant for you to have blonde hair, you would have had blonde hair. You don't have blonde hair. You're brunettes. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
And they were set on it. They were still our kids at this point. Yeah. They weren't adults.
Right, right.
And I remember talking to my dad about it, and he goes, Paul, if the worst thing they want to do with their hair is dye their tips,
what's the harm? It'll grow back. It'll get cut off. It's now, not the end of the world.
They were cheap. They had their sister and a neighborhood girl do it. And honestly, they didn't frost the tips. They look like Buckeyes, you know, with the big brown thing on the top. It was just, yeah, it was a mess. And it did. They ended up shaving it off and having crew cuts.
But it was great advice. Dad gave great advice.
He did. And there were just those little things. Like, it's our job now to mentor our children. It's our job to... And we realized at that point in time, we had overstepped our bounds.
And mentoring in that situation, I think, now looking back, would have been to privately go to our daughter and her husband and just say, these are just some concerns we have.
Yeah.
In a private format, and just ask, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on this? Include them in on the decision making, express our concern about it, but not take over their holiday, not yes. make all the decisions for their holiday, but come to them as mutual adults and sit down together and just talk about the concerns that we had. But we didn't handle it that way.
No.
And mentoring, to me, that's what that would have looked like.
Well, and we also did something that a lot of parents have troubles with, which was we went to them and we apologized. I remember calling them up, going over to their house. They were very
uneasy
about us coming. Mm-hmm. They had made it very clear they didn't want to argue. We were like, we're not going to argue. We came over, we looked at them, we told them we were sorry. Yeah. That we had failed, we had overstepped, and that we were wrong.
And I don't think I realized, if anybody's listened to these podcasts, I cry easily, but I don't think I realized the level of hurt that I caused,
yeah.
especially to my daughter, because I think she looked at it as we didn't trust her to make good decisions. And we felt we had to control her.
Yeah.
And I don't think I realized how hurtful things were until we went over there and we looked her in the eye and we apologized to her.
Yeah.
And the brokenness that she felt and the brokenness I felt. But despite all of that, it created healing
yes.
in our relationship.
Well, and it changed our relationship.
It did.
Because
it did.
From that point on, I'm not saying we're perfect at it, but we have tried to live by the principles of this book. I mean, the number one thing is keep your mouth shut and keep the welcome mat out. It's one of those things of if your opinion is not asked, don't give it. And that's hard.
Because the truth is, not everything that all of our kids do that we necessarily agree with. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that go on and I kind of shake my head and go, I wouldn't do that. But we've learned that we can't do that.
Yeah. And we've learned that we have to stay out of things. I mean, if we're asked, we give our advice. We try to live by these things. So if you're a parent who is struggling with this,
yeah.
If you're like, you know, I'm having troubles letting go of my kids. I'm having troubles being a mentor, transitioning from my old job description to my new job description. We'd like to offer some help. We're looking this fall to run a Bible study on this subject. And if you're interested in learning more about it, we don't have dates yet. We don't have times. We're still in the beginning discussions of it, but we want to do this. So if you're interested and you want to learn more about it, please email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. And I promise you, it will be life-changing. It'll be helpful. It's a wonderful book.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not meant for condemning anyone. There's no condemnation. This is a difficult transition. I think there's a lot of classes out there about parenting.
Yes.
okay, we're going to parent our kids from, you know, birth to 18 years old. And that's great. And there's a place for that. And I think parents need more help today than they've ever needed before.
Yeah.
But I think somehow people think that, oh, well, once my kids move out, it'll be easy peasy. It's not. It's not easy peasy because your entire way that you do things changes.
Yeah.
And as a parent, you have to change.
Yes, you have to change with it. Well, that's all for this week. Jamie and I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. To learn more about us and our ministry, please visit us at www.holeintheroof.co. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lastly, if you are in need of prayer, we would be honored to pray for you. To reach out to us for any reason or to send us your prayer request, email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. See you all next time as we invite you into our living room and discuss how awesome God is.